A Startup a Week, Episode 1, Thursday.
Previously on A Startup a Week, our team came together at Design Commission in Seattle, Washington, and was presented with the challenge of building a Facebook application in just 1 week. Our app would let users work together to raise money for a computer lab in Cambodia. Can the team complete the project on time? The challenge. Our team has 5 days to design, build, test, and launch an online application. At the end of the week, the team will present their project to a panel of judges. Can the team come together and create a startup in a week?
With time running out, our team meets up at the Design Commission studio in Seattle for day 4 of A Startup a Week. Overnight, Kyle made contact with the Seattle Room to Read representative, who agreed to come down on Friday afternoon for the final presentation. The team kicked off the day with a quick meeting.
All right, guys. It's day 4 now. We're hitting the home stretch here, and we've got a few things we've got to wrap up. We've got a big day tomorrow. We've secured a few folks to come in and check out what we're doing, hopefully give us the thumbs up, or at least some constructive feedback that we'll be able to make some quick changes and launch something pretty successful. What are the big things we got to get done today?
I think for me, it's details. Lots of little details have to happen, and I think, you know, this is the point in time where it's crunch time, and you just kind of do whatever you need to do to get it up and running.
Yeah, we're through our first end-to-end test of the PayPal integration and taking first versions of the images from Jay, and I'm starting cutting them up, and I'm just going to continue doing that and layering on the style sheets and the navigation and trying to make everything look cool.
I've got a couple things that we're going to take care of today. We're meeting with the word-of-mouth marketing guru guy who's going to come in here and tell us how to spread this virally, so that'll be interesting.
After the meeting, Adam gave me a quick demo on a new technology he used to connect the app to the database.
Yeah, but so LINQ stands for Language Integrated Query. So there's some pretty out there, some pretty revolutionary ways in which you can now integrate the way you access a database with your programming language. So that means new keywords in C#, which specifically pertain to that's kind of stuff that we do every day when you're accessing a database. So you can create objects from your users table, where previously you'd use a whole other nomenclature to do that. So a very tangible example of this is, so inside the Facebook app, the first thing you do is generally create a user object from the user ID that Facebook passes you. And this is your the identifier, a number that identifies you on Facebook. Got a helper function in here called Finder Create, which takes that user ID. And so this is a very simple beginner's query here to say, find me all the users in the database whose ID matches that. And so this is new syntax here that we couldn't have done in previous versions of .NET, which says var users from u and db users, where uid equals id. And so magically underneath, when you compile this or run it, I'm not exactly sure, it's generating SQL, and it connects to SQL Server, and it loads up user objects from the database. Normally, you'd create either a store procedure, or you'd run some SQL to bring back a data set or a data reader, and then you'd then translate that into objects, but this way you get objects for free, basically. And what it's doing is it constructs these objects with properties and fields that match the columns on your database table. So that's really convenient, because basically you start from your, if you have a good data model, then you'll have a nice object model to go along with it for free, which works well in a prototyping or in an environment where you're creating a new project from scratch. That's very good. It wouldn't be quite as convenient if you're working with a legacy database or something where all the column names are already there and But in this situation, it's perfect, especially since we can write one line of code to load up a user from the database. So all this, so what we're doing is we want to create a row in our database the first time we see you, so that we can then track your donations against that user. And so what we say here is if we didn't get any users back from that query, then we create a new one. So we create a new user and we assign all the properties, and then we just call db.users.insertOnSubmit and pass that new user, and then down the line here we say db.submitChanges. So this is kind of more magic, where it takes that object and it magically converts it into a row in the database.
Nice.
And so now we've got an entry in the database and we know who you are, and we can relate any donation that you make to that. So just popping back up, so what we're trying to do here is handle the confirmation URL coming from PayPal, and we're going to mark your order that you made as complete and give you credit for the money that you sent us. So all we do is, very similarly, we load up the order that we created earlier by the order ID, and then we update the amount paid and the PayPal transaction ID. Status, and then we set the modified date to now so we can track, you know, if we need to, the time difference between when we first got the order and when the person actually came back and actually properly finished paying for it.
At 3 o'clock, we met with Dominic Canterbury from DC Strategic to talk through some word-of-mouth marketing strategies we could use to promote our app.
Word-of-mouth marketing is the most powerful form of marketing today, and everybody who I've ever talked to about this, they can point to countless different incidents where word-of-mouth has been made or broken their campaign or their business. And in these traditional forms of marketing, they're working less and less. This is the grand unified theory of marketing that I concocted. Every consumer decision can be explained in terms of three variables, basically: relevance, credibility, and value. So relevance times credibility times value equals behavioral change. Word of mouth only happens in a context of relevance, right? You don't spread word of mouth to somebody you think it's not relevant to, right?
Sure.
But if you do think it's relevant, you're going to spread it. And it comes with credibility because you're hearing it from a person who's actually had that experience or somebody you actually trust. And the value in it is in finding something that actually meets your needs.
I asked Dominic to share some examples of how he's used this technique in the past.
This online e-commerce site for independent fashion designers. So what we're looking at is the site itself is remarkable to independent fashion designers because they have very few options out there for selling their stuff. They can have their own website, but it's not like a centralized shopping place where people can go and browse for indie designers. So, and setting up a store is free, it takes like 5 minutes. It's smashingdarling.com for a little plug for them. And it's a great site, although they don't have men's clothing really, so it's happy. That's where we looked at fashion bloggers, particularly the ones that were interested in indie fashion. So then the question is, what would make this so exciting to them that they would want to tell everybody about it?
Right.
So what we want to do is have the bloggers submit a look, based, you know, indie fashion look, of all the designers that are listed on Smashing Darling, and then have the community vote on it. So you see the incentives line up there, because the blogger can say, hey, I submitted my look, you got to go vote for it. So the idea is that whoever wins would get their a photo shoot done on that look, and it would get run in print. Now, even though print is declining in relevance and readership, it still is kind of holds a lot of has this huge mystique. Like, if it's not, I mean, because you're in print, it makes you feel important.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's not necessarily going to launch this blogger's career, it appeals to what they want.
It makes them feel good. So I'd love to get kind of your thoughts on the communities that we're going after.
A lot of different ways you can go about this. Part of it is designed to help teach kids about Cambodia. Maybe it's a trivia thing on Cambodia and what's going on there.
Uh-huh.
Then it becomes something that could be made remarkable to the learning community. So people who So people who learn or who write about...
So teachers are talking about in their classes.
Yes. And people, like teacher bloggers are talking about it, or education administrators. So it becomes something that is could be tied with sponsorship. That'd be easy. Or it could be tied with something that... with this, like a fundraising drive that these kids are doing, because you know, a lot of kids would want to be part of that. And then you'd want to look at what the kids would want out of it. I mean, the kids that would be most involved in this would be really ambitious, wanting something for their resume, for getting into college, that kind of stuff. So just add some simple things that don't cost anything, like give them titles about, you know, the regional fundraiser for this. So
like resume builders, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's so then they can tell their college that they were the regional fundraiser for this program. Then have a regional fundraiser all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, for Puget Sound, Chicago.
From Capitol Hill. From James Street, lead regional fundraising lead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks for your help. Appreciate your
happy to do this.
Feedback and your thoughts, your ideas. My gosh, I think this has been just a crazy session that there's so much that we could do. I wish we had another week.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
You can call it 2 weeks start.
Yeah. There
you
go.
Coming up on the conclusion to A Startup a Week. While the team works to finish up the app, Kyle gets the phone call that threatens to shut down the entire project.
Okay, guys. So,
what's up?
Can the team pull it off? Stay tuned for the conclusion to A Startup a Week.